Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
I like to count my blessings, and one of the things I am very, very thankful for is to see all these kids up here on a Sunday morning, right? I don't know if you realize how blessed we are to have that many kids. We are definitely blessed as a church and blessed to have young families here, and I am just so, so thankful for that. And I love that they told the Christmas story. I love the Christmas story because it helps me live in the middle of a world that is messy and broken. I don't know if you've noticed, but our world, and it seems especially so in 2025, is kind of weird, really different, kind of hard, kind of worrisome. There was a survey done of grade 10 students in Lanark. Thank you, Rachel Roth, for providing these statistics for us. Almost half of the students surveyed in Lanark County a couple of years back, grade 10 students, almost half of them did not feel safe while they were at school. 22% of them had become drunk in the last 30 days. Over half of the grade 10s were spending 3 hours or more on social media per day. It's a hard way to live. Seniors in our country. One in three seniors living on their own say that they have need of mental health care. 22% of older adults test positive for depression. That's a hard way to live. Historically, Canadians under 30 have been the happiest of Canadians, and now they're the least happy in our country. Almost 10% of children in our country live in families that were unable to meet basic needs. We live in a pretty messed up world. I wish I could say that, well, if you come to Asbury, that you would be immune to these kind of statistics. But we have a lot of young people who come to family night, and I know that they're a bunch of great kids, but I know that some of them really struggle. I'm so glad that we have a good number of young families here with young kids that are coming to Asbury. But many of you have told me that life is good, but that it's hard. And some of you have just told me life is hard. I know a number of seniors here who've had their own struggles. There's some with financial stress and some with challenging emotions. Some of you are thinking, well, Pastor Brent, isn't this a sunny way to start a sermon, right? But it is people like us, people who live in a broken world that is sometimes difficult, that need to hear the Christmas story again. Because God shows us something in this story this morning. You heard it read, let me read part of it to you again, Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own hometown to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Now, while they were there, the time came for them to have a baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. I love the story. See, if you didn't read chapter 1 about the angel appearing to Mary, and if you didn't know the verses following about a choir of angels, this looks like a couple who is just experiencing real life. First of all, you have Caesar Augustus, who is the Roman Empire emperor. Now, the Roman Empire was the superpower of that day. He issues this decree from his palace in Rome, and this young couple, countries away from Rome, are affected and forced to make a journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and they're forced by a governor or by a Caesar that isn't even close, forced to make this journey that they would rather not make, to stay in a town that is overcrowded. They have to live in a stable because there is no adequate lodging, or maybe affordable lodging for them. Reminds me a lot of 2025, doesn't it? People in power in a faraway place have made decisions that affect families and seniors and kids, and affect our emotions, and affect our pocketbooks, in a country not our own. Tariffs were imposed. And because of the pressures outside of our country, food prices have gone up so that ordinary couples like Mary and Joseph have had to adjust the way they live. The worst things about 2025, I think, is the uncertainty. We wonder how our country will fare. Will our economy tank going into 2026? What's going to happen to the businesses around Perth? We know people who live in towns that produce automobiles and steel and aluminum and lumber. How are our friends and our families going to weather the storm? And we wonder how hard it's going to get. If the story of Christmas was being written in our time, it wouldn't be written like it is in Luke. If a reporter was to come up to Mary and Joseph and catch them on their journey, where Mary is 9 months pregnant and she's having to make this 3-day walk, or probably 5 or 6-day walk with the shape that she is in, a reporter would come up to Mary and Joseph and they would say, "So, Mary and Joseph, how do you feel about Caesar Augustus, right? Or how do you feel about making this journey?" But the story doesn't make mention of Mary and Joseph's feelings. It states that powers and forces afar off affect their everyday lives. You and I can relate to that. But here's the one thing that we need to be reminded of in this story. And in my not-so-good moments, I find that what I find annoying about the story of Mary and Joseph is that they, and especially Mary, was highly favored of the Lord. Remember when Gabriel appeared to Mary? Luke chapter 1. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." What I find difficult is that Mary was favored by God and yet not exempt from the political powers of her time. Mary, you have found favor with God, but that does not exempt you from hard things. That does not immunize you against political maneuverings in far-off places. It doesn't exempt you from difficult things. Doesn't mean that you will always find an inn that is available or that you can afford. You found favor with God, but you will have to do hard things. Most of you listening to me have put your faith in Jesus. You've learned the Jesus way is the best way. You've received him into your life. You've been saved from spiritual death and brought into spiritual life. You've been forgiven. God's Spirit lives in you. One of the primary features of the Christian faith, and one that you don't find in any other faith, is grace. Grace. We are big on grace around here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works that anyone could boast." You've been saved by grace. The definition of grace is unmerited, unearned favor. If you are a follower of Jesus, if Jesus has come into your life, then you have God's favor on you. You, like Mary, can say, "I am favored by God. I'm highly favored by God." But here's the thing. Like Mary and Joseph, even though you are favored by God, in fact, in spite of the fact that you are favored by God, you still have to do hard things. You're not exempt from the political maneuverings of our world, and you're not exempt from difficult things. There are some of you here who wake up in the morning and you are in pain because of arthritis. That's hard. And you have to persevere. You can be highly favored of God and have to work through difficult things. There are some of you here who have to deal with mental illness, and that's hard. The list of hard things we have to deal on could go on and on, but I know a lot of you, and I know a lot of you have hard things to deal with. And yet, grace says that you are highly favored by God. But grace does not exempt us from hard things. Some of you have gone through hard times and you endure hard times and you wonder if God loves you. You wonder if God accepts you. You wonder if God was really on my side, and God says he is and he favors you, how could I have to go through these hard things? But take a look at Mary and Joseph. Highly favored by God, and yet they had to do hard things. Your circumstances do not define God's love for you or his favor towards you. I need you to hear that. Your circumstances do not define God's love for you or his favor towards you. Let me take you back to the story. As you know, every good story needs a villain. And so when the Christmas story has been told and the villain is the innkeeper. That cold, hearted, nasty man turned away Mary and Joseph, even though Mary was about to give birth. How uncaring can you be? I find it interesting that the biblical story does not even have an innkeeper. No one is villainized. Nobody is blamed. All it says is verse 7. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. professor at Houghton College that I was acquainted with, Keith Drury, said this. But we like the innkeeper myth. A hard-hearted secular man innkeeper better fits our bias. We, of course, fancy that we'd have given up our own bed for this holy family. We think all of this while we happily drive past a car full of immigrants with a flat tire. Or as we scurry off to Christmas shopping, we wonder why the homeless people don't get a job. We like the hard-hearted innkeeper, for he is our symbol of the whirling, our hard-hearted people with no room for our Savior, or even have time to help a young family in need. We consider ourselves compassionate, caring, and full of mercy. We believe unsaved people are selfish and hard-hearted and uncaring, and grading the world low enough, we mark ourselves on the curve. And we look pretty good. We want somebody to blame when things go hard and wrong. If I have to stay in a stable and give birth around sheep and lay my child in a manger, then I want somebody to blame, is what the modern Mary would say. So the politically right and the politically left point their fingers at each other and say, it's your fault that the world is in the shape that it is. And the socially right and the socially left point at each other and say, it's your fault that the world is in the shape that it is. You should have foreseen the situation, built bigger inns in Bethlehem. There always has to be somebody to blame. Because blame lets us off the hook, and we can point the finger at somebody else. It makes us feel better, and it denigrates other people. It puts us up, puts other people down. We live in a fractured world where people continually point their fingers at one another. And I get that there's a time to take political action, and I get that there is a time for your voice to be heard, and I get that there's a time that blame is real. But when you find yourselves in situations where you have to do hard things, blame is unhelpful. When you find yourself in a situation where things are uncomfortable, blame is unhelpful. See, God didn't put an innkeeper in the story. Avoid blame ourselves, and bringing blame on others has become the cultural pastime of our day. You see it in governments. I see it in marriages. I see it in dysfunctional relationships. It's her fault. It's his fault. He did that. Well, she did that. But it's not God's way. Don't be like our culture. Be like God. So Mary and Joseph have this baby. Things have not fallen into place. In fact, they've been hard, but the baby is born. I'm sure they looked at the baby Jesus with wonder and awe that first-time parents are prone to. But there have got to be questions as well. Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit. This baby looks like a baby, not God. There's no glowing lights around him. They're thankful that he's healthy. They're thankful that Mary is healthy, but she's got to be exhausted with the trip and with giving birth. And then in the middle of these hard things, blessings have a way of coming our way. Blessings that make you wonder. See, the whole focus of this story is about the baby. Don't get your eyes on the messy stable of life and forget to to focus on the baby. Don't get your eyes on the hard things of life and to forget to focus on the blessings. Don't get your eyes on this messed up world in such a way where it makes you forget Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the fields at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you that you will find a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly a great companion of heavenly hosts appear with the angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Mary and Joseph knew that this baby was special. The angel that appeared to Mary before she was pregnant told her so. The angel that appeared to Joseph in his dream told him so. But now the baby has been born. They had to know the baby was special. But what I find interesting is this. The choir of angels didn't appear to Mary and Joseph. They appeared to shepherds. The glory of God showed up to shepherds who were outside of Bethlehem. The angel testified to them the fact that the Messiah had been born. Part of the hardship that Mary and Joseph went through, having to stay in a stable, having their child born in a stable, became the identifying mark of how the shepherds would find them and Jesus. You'll find this baby wrapped in cloth, laid in a manger. Don't imagine you'd find too many babies in a manger in Bethlehem. Just because you are highly favored of God does not mean that you are exempt from hard things. And even though you're favored by God, it may mean that the hard things will be a way that other people will identify you as having favor with God. But just because you're favored by God, it doesn't mean that you'll get a choir of angels. I don't know about you, but have you ever had friends who've had like dramatic spiritual experiences? And they've seen angels or they've experienced something amazing, tremendous. They come away telling you just, you know, about their visions or about what they experienced or the revivals that they were a part of. And I don't know if you're like me, but you say, "Lord, why them and not me? Why did you do that for them and not me? Do you love them more than me?" God chose to reveal his glory to shepherds, and Mary and Joseph just heard about it. But Mary and Joseph got to watch Jesus grow up. They got to walk with him and spend more time with him than anyone else on earth at that time. I don't know why choirs of angels come to some people and not to others. I don't know why some people get to be part of revivals and others don't. What I do know is that whether you experience choirs of angels or not, that does not determine whether or not you are favored by God. Your job is to walk with Jesus, even through the mundane places of life. Your job is to focus on the Christ in a manger, not the smelly barns of life. Look what Mary does with the testimony of the shepherds. Verse 16. So they, the shepherds, hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who were lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She treasured up the truth that she learned from somebody else's spiritual experience. There may be something that you can learn from other people's testimonies about the grace of God. We live in a messy, broken world. Life seems more insecure than it has for a long, long time. 2025 was a challenging year for a lot of you. But the fact that you are favored by God does not spare you from doing hard things. If you've been received, if you've received Jesus into your life, you have God's unmerited, unearned favor. God loves you. And so if you're walking through those hard places, don't doubt the grace of God. If you have to live through hard things, don't go looking for an innkeeper, a villain. Don't go looking for someone to blame. That's the world way, not God's way. Focus on what's in the manger, not the smells around the manger. If you've had a great experience with God spiritually, give thanks. If your spiritual life just consists of you walking with Jesus daily, give thanks. Take the testimonies of others and learn from them and ponder them in your heart. We're coming into Christmas. And Mary and Joseph walked through some hard places because of people far away. But ultimately, they saw the Messiah being born. God so loved the world that he gave his son. We're coming out to Christmas. Many of you are in hard places. But Jesus comes to us again and again. For God so loved you that he gave his son. You're highly favored of God, no matter what your circumstances say. Let's pray. So Lord, in this time, I pray for the people who are persevering. For the people who have to do hard things. For the people who wonder if somehow you're judging them or somehow you're this is because they've done bad things, or Lord, have you stopped loving them, or whatever. Lord, remind them that despite their circumstances, they're highly favored. And help them to keep their heart soft so we don't buy into the world's reaction of blaming all of those around us, diminishing others and lifting ourselves up. Forgive us, Lord, for when we've done that. And Lord, whether you take us to the mountaintop or just we're walking with you daily, help us to receive what we hear that is from you. And Lord, I pray that you would bless your people in this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.